My name is Jim Freiling, and I'm subbing, I suppose, today, and wanted to share some things with you that God has kind of laid on my heart. And the title of this is Lest We Forget. And so we're going to be talking to some extent about memory, and so I thought I might drag some of you down memory lane just a little bit. So have you ever played that? This is the memory game. My wife plays it routinely with my grandkids, and sometimes she ropes me into playing it as well. But obviously, you just have to remember where the different tokens are and try to get matching pairs. Or how about this? Some of you played this for a while. You can kind of read that it says 23 on there. I don't think I could repeat the pattern of flashing lights and tones for 23. I don't think I could ever get that high. But this is just something almost to test our memory and maybe even to develop our memory. Or some of you are a little bit over 30. How many of you remember this? Maybe I don't want to see a show of hands. This is the game Concentration from the early 70s. And you just have the grid and you would pick two numbers. And if the prize covered by those two numbers matched, then you won that prize. And then it would reveal part of a puzzle, and if you solve the puzzle, you could win a grand prize sort of a thing. If it tells you anything, I grew up playing the at-home version of this. So, I've been around a little bit. But all of these things deal with memory. So what sorts of things do you take the time to remember? Husbands, birthdays, and anniversaries, you probably discovered, are kind of important to remember. Okay? And by the way, for those of you who are older, it's not only your birthdays and your wife's birthday, but even the grandkids' birthdays, which can be a little bit of a challenge sometimes. Okay? Names. This is one that actually sometimes you have giftedness in different areas of memory. This is one that I don't. And so if I meet you after the service and you tell me your name, I will probably remember it, well, let's just say a very short period of time. Okay? If you meet my wife Marcy after the service, 6 months from now could be the next time that she would meet you. She would remember your name, your kids' names, and all this stuff about your job and your home life that you didn't even tell her, but somehow she intuitively figured out. Okay? She has a knack for names. I'm not so good at that. How about gifts received? If you think back, there's a gift that stands out. This was something significant in your life. Or places you visited, the Grand Canyon, Paris, various places around the globe. Some of those stand out. Celebrations are things that we remember. My daughter just graduated from college down in Phoenix, and we went down and celebrated her graduation. It was kind of fun because we surprised her. We helped make a memory that is going to be a positive memory for her. What about sad or fearful times? Some of those get etched on our memory, and we really don't want them to be there. I still have far too vivid memories of a time when I was had to be about 18 years old, and had to jump off a 10-meter tower into a pool of water. Well, that might be fun if you're not very afraid of heights. That's one that I remember far too well. Okay. What about as we get older, we run into more issues where, what in the world did I come in the room for? Or, where are my keys? Where did I put those? Our memories are actually very important to us. They are a major contributor to who we are. And so memories are very important. And so we're celebrating today, or actually tomorrow, we're celebrating Memorial Day. Memorial Day was established just after the Civil War by a group of slaves who had been freed. And they actually initiated it with the bodies of some Union soldiers that had been in a prisoner of war camp and had been buried. But Memorial Day is an American holiday observed on the last Monday of May, honoring the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military. I want to distinguish this from Veterans Day. Okay, Veterans Day, we celebrate everyone who served or is serving in the military. Memorial Day is for those who have died in service to their country. So it's an American holiday. But there was something like a Memorial Day a long time ago, back in the Kingdom of Israel. Saul was king over the nation of Israel, and his brother Jonathan was a leader in the army. And they went out into battle and were killed. Both of them were killed. And David was a general in Saul's army at one point, was a close friend of Saul and of Jonathan. And after the battle, a report was brought to David that Saul and Jonathan had fallen in battle. And read what happens here. David and all the men with him took hold of their clothes and tore them. The tearing of clothes is a sign of mourning, of deep grief. They mourned and wept and fasted till evening for Saul and his son Jonathan. And notice it wasn't just for Saul and for Jonathan, and for the army of the Lord, and for the nation of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. See, it wasn't just Saul and Jonathan that they were mourning. It was the army who had endured the loss, and the nation of Israel who had endured the loss. So why do we celebrate Memorial Day here in the U.S.? Why do we have monuments like this one, the Iwo Jima Memorial in Arlington, celebrating the life and death of Marines who have fought for the U.S.? Or the USS Arizona Memorial in Hawaii. And that outline that you see is the outline of the hull of the ship, because it sank right there and sailors went down with it. In World War II, there were over 400,000 soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines that lost their lives. The Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C., the wall, 58,000 names written on that wall. These are people who sacrificed their life in service to their country. And then finally, also in Arlington, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Here rests an honored glory, an American soldier known but to God. These are all people who sacrificed their lives for the good of our country. So why do we celebrate Memorial Day? Why is it a celebration? By the way, yes, it is the quote-unquote unofficial start to summer. It is not National Barbecue Day, although it tends to be treated that way sometimes. But why do we celebrate? Well, think about these other celebrations that we have of people who have sacrificed. We have Mother's Day, where we express appreciation for our moms, for all that they've done for us. And Father's Day, the same thing, for all that they have sacrificed for our welfare. Veterans Day, for those who are currently serving or have served. And Memorial Day that we're talking about now. See, the thing is, all these people, we have days to celebrate the sacrifices that they are making or have made for our benefit. And if they've made sacrifices, it would make sense that we would be thankful, that we would have some appreciation for the things that they have done for us. We should honor people who sacrifice themselves, whether large or small. And it's important for us to remember the sacrifices that have been paid for us. So we celebrate that as a national holiday. But what about the Lord's Day? See, the Lord's Day, that's the common term now for Sunday. Right? Some people call it the Lord's Day. It's a holiday. It's a holiday. Observed one day each week to honor the God-man who sacrificed his life to make life and freedom available to all mankind. See, where does the word holiday even come from? It's pretty obvious from the word itself. Holiday, holy day. Remember when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt and Moses went up on the mountain and received the Ten Commandments? There was a commandment that was given. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And on that day you shall not do work and so on, right? There was a commandment to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, we don't practice the Sabbath the same way. Okay? The Sabbath was given to the nation of Israel. It was fulfilled in Christ. And so we don't celebrate the Sabbath. We don't set a day aside that way. We set a day aside now in honor of Christ. And so we celebrate the Lord's Day. Now, I have a question up there. Well, what about Good Friday and Easter? What about Good Friday and Easter? Those are days that we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So we actually already have that holiday covered, right? Think about that for just a second. Think about what Jesus actually accomplished on the cross. Is 1 or 2 days out of the year really sufficient to honor and express thanks? See, in Colossians we're told that once we were alienated from God and were enemies in our minds because of our evil behavior. See, when we were created and placed in the garden, we were created for God's glory and to have fellowship with God. And we rebelled. Adam and Eve, the first sin, and all of us since then. And ever since that time, we have been estranged from God. We've been separated from God. We've been in rebellion against God. And in fact, we were God's enemies. Completely in opposition to God. We were hostile to God. And quite often, in our behavior, sometimes we still are. We were alienated, but God reconciled us to himself. Reconciliation, that's kind of a big fancy word. Restore the relationship is what he accomplished. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were still powerless, was there anything that we could do to get our relationship with God right? No. Because all we could do all the time was rebel against God. That's our very nature, or was our very nature to do that. We were powerless to do anything good, anything that would honor or glorify God. Now, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So while we were in opposition, while we were fighting God, while we were in rebellion, Christ died for us. If we were to take that and make it an analogy to modern combat, what would that be? If I'm a soldier and I'm fighting against the enemy, what would I have to do if I were trying to follow this example? I would have to sacrifice my own life for the sake of my enemy. We don't do that in combat anymore, do we? Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? See, when Christ was sacrificed, he paid the price for us. And our rebellion, our estrangement from God, ended. We were adopted into God's family. We became his children, dearly loved. God accomplished a great thing. For if, while we were still God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? We've been reconciled. We've been brought near to God. We can have a good relationship with God because Jesus rose and lives again. This goes on in Ephesians 2, and we're just going to do verses 1 through 9. This kind of sums up really what Jesus did. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work and those who are disobedient. Now, this might sound a little bit confusing. Okay? The way in which we used to live when we followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. See, there is someone who's in opposition to God, who's still fighting God tooth and nail at every turn, who recognizes that he's going to lose, but on his way out wants to do whatever he can to try and thwart God's plans and God's blessings for his people. That's the evil one, or Satan. When we were rebelling against God, whose side were we fighting on? All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. See, if you get to the end of the story, what happens to Satan? Satan is cast into the lake of fire. What happens to those who die apart from being reconciled to God? They're cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is intended for Satan and his angels. It's not what we were created for, but it's our destiny apart from God. We were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us in the heaven with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. See, again, think about it for just a moment. We were in active rebellion against God. We were fighting, if you will, in Satan's army. And Satan's doom is sure. His destination, there's no question about. Okay? And those who continue to fight on his team, if you will, are all going to have the same fate. That was our fate before we came to Christ. So to go from that to what God has in store for us in the future, a little bit of a difference. And it's not by anything that we've done. For it's been grace that you've been saved through faith. It's not up from yourselves. It's a gift of God. See, we are saved not because we deserve it. We are saved purely, solely, only because God chose to do so. We didn't merit his favor. There's nothing that we could do that would. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. So we are saved. We're made part of God's kingdom. But the question then is, how do we really benefit? How do we benefit by being in God's kingdom? And if you don't know me at all, my education and experience, I'm a scientist, I'm a chemist. And I like to do experiments. And so I'm going to do an experiment. And let's see. I actually did talk and got permission or got a volunteer. But I'd like someone to come forward here. This is completely unscripted, unpracticed. And so we're going to see if this experiment works or not. Okay. So let's see. So tell me your name.
Wesley.
Okay, and how old are you?
9.
You're 9 years old. And do you still live at home or do you have an apartment?
I still live at home.
You live at home. Okay. Who all lives at your house? I'm sorry? Okay. So you live with your mom and dad, right? Okay. Tell me, here's a really tough question. I want you to list for me the benefits that you have by living with your mom and dad. Do you know the word benefits?
No.
What are the advantages or what are the good things from living with your mom and dad?
They feed me and help me when I get hurt.
Okay, good. Anything else? No? All right. Thank you for coming up here. You did a great job. So in this experiment, the question was, what benefit do you have by being in the family that you're in? For a 9-year-old, that's a tough question. Okay? I didn't dare ask him anything about looking forward to benefiting from a 401k. Or all those other myriad things that mom and dad worry about and take care of. Okay? From a child's perspective, their world is kind of close in, right? I mean, even for us, what's the most important thing? Well, they feed me. Okay? They feed me and I have clothing to wear and a house to live in. Oh, and by the way, they take me to school so I can learn things, or they teach me. They take me to church. See, there are a myriad of things that parents do for their children. And for younger children in particular, if they had to try to list those, the list would actually be very small in comparison to the actual benefits. If that is the case for our human children and our families, how do you think that compares to the benefits that we have as God's children in His family? See, I think our worldview in comparison to God's is very narrow. We focus on very little, where the amount of blessing that God has for us is enormous, beyond what we can comprehend or conceive. But we don't pay any attention to it. We ignore it. We take it for granted. And that's why we're talking about our memories today. What is it that we remember? What I would like to do as a group is I would like us to take a little bit of time to remember some of the things that Jesus has done for us, what God has accomplished for us. And so if you would, Psalm 103 is a psalm of praise. And so I would like us as a congregation, if you would stand. And we're going to read Psalm 103 together. Now, this is from the New Living Translation, so it might be a little bit different for some of those of you who are used to the King James or the New International. But if you would read with me, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers, we bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Please be seated. As we walk through that, did you notice all the things that are listed in this psalm that was written before Christ walked on earth? God's salvation for us is from everlasting to everlasting. And long before Christ ever set foot, God had arranged a way for us to be saved. See, it's difficult for us to recognize how much God has done for us if we don't recognize where we were to begin with. You know, we were enemies of God. We were estranged from him. We were destined for hell. And that would last forever. But God has something better in store. First Corinthians 2:8 talks a little bit about the conflict. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. See, here's the thing. When Jesus walked on the earth, Satan was around. He was having a good time. He had all sorts of folks that he was in control of all throughout the nation of Israel. It was a dark time. If you read through the Gospels, you read how many times Jesus drove demons out of people. Okay? They were prevalent. They still are. Okay? But when Jesus walked on the earth, Satan thought he had a chance. He could put an end to God's plan. And so Satan's plan, let's put God to death. And so Satan worked for Jesus' sacrifice, not recognizing that Jesus, as God, is going to conquer death. See, if Satan had known what Jesus was going to do, as this passage indicates, Jesus would not have been sacrificed. But it was God's plan from the beginning. Now, what I'm most excited about, you know, we talked about benefits. What are the benefits of us being in God's kingdom, being in God's family? What I really like, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. Think about this for just a moment. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has the mind conceived. So think about heaven. What is heaven going to be like? Well, heaven is probably just so-so. Really, it kind of is. Probably just so-so. Because if you think about it, heaven's not what we're made for. See, heaven is a spiritual realm. God is present, but we're not quite all the way there. Because God made us as physical beings. We have physical bodies. We're made to be physical. What does God do at the end? He restores all things. He makes a new heaven and a new earth. A new creation. And we disembodied spirits in heaven, what do we get when Jesus comes back? We get new bodies like Jesus' own body. We live forever in a new creation that is untainted by any of the sin that's plagued our world since Adam and Eve in the garden. All that brokenness is gone forever. And in this new creation, with our new bodies, there's going to be work to do, and God will be there. And there's all sorts of promises that God tells us about that new creation. What I'm excited about, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor mind conceived. Think about the new creation. With all the yucky stuff that we currently have gone, imagine how wonderful it's going to be. Mind has not conceived. See, if you can think about something that's going to make this new creation wonderful, what God has prepared is way beyond that. If you can envision it, what God has prepared is way beyond that. In the mind of a 9-year-old, food, clothing, shelter, we can see this. In God's kingdom right now, where we're at, we can see this. But God has something tremendous in store for us. We have tremendous blessings. Why? Because of the sacrifice that was paid for us. So, how do we respond? If we're going to actually remember all that Christ has done for us in dying on the cross for us, what can we do? Well, the first option, first thing that we ought to consider is trying to honor God by the way that we live. Remember the slide earlier that talked about the way that we used to live? Some of us are still trying to do that. We're trying to live firmly planted in this world while trying to be part of God's kingdom at the same time. And that doesn't work. That doesn't work. And that does not honor God. We can remember or even memorize His word. You know, I teach college, and so I'm always trying to help people remember stuff so that they can do well on my next exam that I'm giving and all those things. But you retain only a very small percentage of what you hear. Okay, a very small percentage. You retain more of what you read. Okay? You retain even more of what you study. This is why I tell my students, not only do I lecture, not only do I want them to read the text, I want them to study the text. Okay? But then you can retain even more if you memorize. If you memorize something, theoretically, you retain 100% of it. If you want to remember what Christ has done for you, you might want to memorize some of his word. We can be thankful. 2 Timothy 2:8 says, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel," or our gospel. Paul, at this point, who wrote this letter to Timothy, is in chains. He's suffering. Okay? But remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Our gospel, our good news. This is what God has done for us. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Okay, that's where we were. But God has made us alive in Christ. Let me pray to close us. Father, thank you for sending Jesus when we were estranged from you, when we were your enemies. You sent Christ to live a holy life, to die on the cross in our place, so that you could adopt us to be your children, so that we could enjoy all the tremendous benefits that are part of being in your kingdom. Help us, Lord, as we go through Memorial Day tomorrow, to remember not only those who sacrificed their lives for our country, but to remember the one who sacrificed his life for all mankind. Thank you, Lord, for doing it for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.